Elections 2012 are over, and now it's time to analyze what's next for bioethics. John Carney, President and CEO of the Center for Practical Bioethics, joins us now on the Bioethics Channel, a production of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. John, as always, quite a ride with elections, and there's always the question of what the elections mean. For bioethics, I would imagine one of the leading questions is about the future of the Affordable Care Act.
It is, Laurel, and I'm not quite sure yet, but I think that the election has pretty much put to rest the question about whether or not Obamacare moves forward or not. And there are some contentious issues that still remain. I'm sure there are going to be a number of individual states that may file some suits against the implementation of the act itself, but those are going to be, I think, rare, and I don't know how much energy they'll be able to sustain over time. So I definitely feel that since the early part of the year in which we first, you know, heard the Supreme Court issue and say, yes, the elements of the requirements of people's participation is a done deal. That Congress does have the authority to make that decision. The Medicaid expansion kind of was one of the areas that was left a little murky. I think that now that the election has taken place, obviously the implementation factors move into play and the financing elements move into play, and I think that Obamacare is the law of the land and will move forward.
Well, then each state, including Missouri and Kansas, where we are, had measures that were passed that could at least throw some knots into how this is implemented, and that's something that state officials in each state will have to figure out.
Yeah, there are really two elements that deal kind of with the political environment, or certain the legislative environment as well as the administration, and that is the question around Medicaid expansion, and then the other is the implementation of the exchanges, and those are two separate issues. The implementation of the exchanges is, there is a provision in the law which says that states can do this on their own and design however they want to do it. Both Missouri and Kansas declined to do that. The governor in Kansas, pretty much as an individual decision, made that call. In Missouri, it was really imposed by the legislature. They have a 10-day window now. Between the 6th and the 16th, the state can alert the federal government as to whether or not they want to participate in the creation of an exchange that would have some local involvement and local elements, or if not, then the federal exchange that is being designed that the federal government, HHS, the Health and Human Services, is putting together would then take place. But there's really a need for the states to be engaged in that process because there are specific elements. So I think you're going to see some efforts by the Department of Health and Human Services to reach out to the states to ask them to reengage. I'm not sure quite what the answer will be in either state of Kansas and Missouri, but if not, the exchange will move forward. The question around Medicaid expansion, I think, really is one more probably financial matters. The Medicaid expansion right now is, it was the one piece of the Supreme Court decision that said the federal government cannot force the states to participate in Medicaid expansion, which is basically making a bigger pool of folks that would be eligible for coverage that may not now be, or may be high risk or something, like, you know, some pre-existing conditions that make them less likely to be covered. But the Medicaid expansion effort that really the states need to decide on is, are they willing to walk away from a 90% match on the dollars that would allow for that to happen? Because the way the Affordable Care Act is designed is that money comes from a federal match as opposed to the local match. So there are some business decisions that need to be made around the benefit of implementation of the Medicaid expansion that kind of drive home a very favorable balance of support that is there from the federal government that I think is going to be very, very hard for states to refuse, including the hospitals that are the major hospitals that are safety net providers in their local communities, like Truman in the Kansas City area. It's going to be a very difficult decision for them to say no to that money.
From a bioethics perspective, it's the idea of expanding the pool and getting as many people covered as possible, right?
It really is. I mean, this gets back to the idea of the original design, even from the Republican efforts in the 90s to basically provide a much broader base for which people to enter into the system and have affordable coverage for them in the for all of us to have insurance. And if you bring more people in, obviously the risks are shared. And if one of us or many of us would develop diseases or conditions in which there's catastrophic costs associated with that, we're protected in that environment. That's really the design of the whole thing. And then to extract some of the concessions from private industry and those kind of things through underwriting expenses, which would no longer necessarily be required, and to use those dollars that are currently being paid to basically supplement the costs of the care. So it's basically kind of moving away from a strictly private enterprise kind of thing where I want to be able to pick and choose who's in there to, well, no, everybody's going to be in and we all need to be covered. And so there's this kind of ethic around access to care that we're really trying to say everybody gets in and nobody's discriminated against. And we, there may be higher payments that we make simply because of age or possibly, mainly age, I guess, more than anything. We don't discriminate against those folks who simply have drawn the short straw in life in general and have conditions or even genetic conditions that would eventually play out as being a high cost expense for them and their families.
Moving on from the Affordable Care Act, then what about any particular hopes or concerns about other issues that bioethics pays attention to as we move beyond this election?
Well, I think evidence-based research is really an area, and there are funding mechanisms tied into the Affordable Care Act as it plays out in 2013 and 2014, and really most of the final provisions are really implemented over the course of 2014. Evidence-based research, making sure that we use money wisely, that we standardize care and the kinds of treatment that we should be giving all people who have certain conditions on a regular basis. There's incentives built into the Affordable Care Act that really help drive practitioners to do a better job, and that helps eliminate waste. It helps basically improve basic care to people, primary care to people, or preventive care to people that they really do need. And there's mechanisms and efforts within the Affordable Care Act that do that. And those are some of the more important drivers, which really I don't think raised any hackles with any political view of this, that are built into the system that really do help alleviate some of the problems we've experienced in the past with not paying attention to those issues. And so bundling of payments, looking at value rather than volume, all of those kind of payment mechanisms that really do help us focus on outcomes and prevention and wellness, those are built into the Affordable Care Act. So those are significant drivers, I think, as we as in a bioethics field look at what are those perverse incentives that we need to eliminate from the system. And I think there are really good incentives, better incentives, I will say, than there have been in the past to get away from the fee-for-service environment and more to basically trying to treat and care for people as individuals and not as a disease or a malfunctioning organ, that we really do look at the person as an individual and how they should be cared for and what we need to do. So I think there are some significant elements of the Affordable Care Act that we will see play out over time that will help us deal with some of those issues.
And then we have medical research that will continue, and there comes issues around privacy and human subjects protection.
Yeah, and that, I think that'll play out over time, too, with the intensity around evidence-based research and genetic testing, being able to understand whether or not, somebody's, well, we were already doing it with genetic testing, but the ethical issues around, so do their survivors find out about any other conditions or illnesses that this person or this family may be certainly at risk for? And as we look at those, I know, again, there's nothing probably in the law. Those are the significant elements of the future of the advancement of medicine that we need to take a look at. Is as people, it's now possible to get a complete, genome printout for about the same price as we get an MRI for. So it those kinds of things are happening. So what do we do with that data? Do we share it with everybody? How do we protect it? How do we make sure that it gets in the it stays in the right hands? and is treated by physicians and practitioners in a way that's respectful of the patient and their wishes. Those are big issues on the horizon that we're going to have to deal with, because the future of medicine is here with the affordability now of genetic testing.
John Carney is president and CEO of the Center for Practical Bioethics. For more information about the center and its programs, visit practicalbioethics.org. practicalbioethics.org. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.